What a privilege it is for us to be here with you all tonight. And we count it an honor. Thank you, Pastor Cowan, for allowing us the opportunity to come by. Missionaries don't get invited places. They get allowed to come places. And so we are appreciative of the opportunity to be here with you all. Give honor to the people of God. There's no other people I'd rather be with than the people of God. Amen. And I count it an honor to be with you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Here to worship God. And I don't know what the word is. My English has started to mess up since we began learning Chinese quite a while ago. And so if I say anything funny, forgive me. It makes sense to me. In Chinese, we say it, tui bud, which means my English has walked backwards. But I don't know if deja vu is the word or recognition or whatever it is tonight. I've seen you for many years. I just didn't know who you were. And I'd heard the name, Brother Cowan, for many years. I just didn't know who he was. I've heard my dad mention him. When I told my dad where we were going, oh, yeah, he knew. And then when I saw you tonight, it clicked. It's like that old maid game, you know, where you had all the cards and you were matching them. I finally matched those. And then we were driving into town today, and I thought, I've never been to Augusta, Georgia. And then I turned onto the road, and I thought, I just drove through here like 2 weeks, or Kansas, wherever I'm at. Yeah, you see, I've got issues. Kansas, my wife is helping me over there. But yeah, we turned on the highway, and I thought, man, I just drove through this place 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. So, amen, I'm just having all kinds of things come together. Amen, but we're happy to be here. Thank you again so much for the opportunity and for the room, the place to stay. Look forward to getting to visit with them later. Young Brother Cowan, I got to be with him a couple weeks. Well, it's been more than everything's a couple weeks ago. But I guess that's almost a couple months ago now. After Heritage, he stayed over there. We were with the Burgesses, got to visit with him. But it's just good to be here. Amen. 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 I will talk about Taiwan just for a moment. If anything, it'll help get the butterflies in formation and kind of talk with something I'm familiar with. We do live in Taipei, Taiwan. It's the capital city of Taiwan. It's probably got close to the same population, I would think, as Augusta, Kansas. 8.5 million people. Pretty close. I thought it was. Driving on the way to church, I thought, man, this is pretty close to what I'm used to. Your pastor was telling me, warning me about the parking tonight before we got here, and I said, don't worry, I'm used to Taipei. I will find a place to park. And we do. There's 8.5 million people in the city we live in. And then we work with Brother Chris Bracken in that city. He pastors a church there. We work with him. We happen just to be in the city, so it's easier for us to do some of the things that go on there. And then we pastor just south of where we live in the city of Hsinchu, Taiwan. And that's a little bit smaller. That's 450,000, so it's like a country town. And but we're thankful that God's given us the opportunity to work in Taiwan. Some people feel bad for missionaries and think, oh, man, it's so sad you have to go here and do this. And don't feel bad for us. We're happy to be where we're at, happy that God has allowed us the privilege to work for him and his kingdom and in Taiwan. We love the Chinese people, and I know it's hard to tell, but I feel more Chinese now than I ever have felt in my life, and I feel comfortable with them. I was at a restaurant last night, and I was so happy when I noticed that the girl seating us, she looked Chinese. Now, you have to be careful because Asian descent can all look the same. They can be from many different countries, and so you have to be careful. So I asked her in English first, where are you from? And she said, oh, I'm from China. And so we were able to switch to Chinese, and it just felt nice to be able to speak to our home people. Yeah, and she happened to live just across the strait from where we did and where we do live in the Fujian province of China. And so it's always nice to get to speak to them. We are looking forward to going back, as Elder Howard so aptly said. He said we are high-centered in America at the moment, and kind of just a little bump in the road, and Taiwan's trying to figure some things out with COVID. Fortunately, we can get back in, but they just have some really wacky restrictions at the moment, and our elders and my pastor have felt that it's at this time, just stay here for the moment, so we might as well make the most of the time we got here. Amen. So we are looking forward to go back. We do have plane tickets, and one of these days, if the Lord tarries, we'll get back and be where God has called us to be. That doesn't mean that we're not working there, though. We still have service. I hate Zoom, but I'm thankful that we have it. It's better than nothing. And so we are able to have service at the church the Lord has allowed us to pastor. In fact, we had church in Taiwan this morning, and we had church in Taiwan Monday morning. And so just the way it works out, they're 13 hours ahead of where we're at now. And they're happy to be able to still have service even while we're gone, and we're thankful that God has helped us even on Zoom. And I can't wait till we're done with that, and we'll be back there in person, amen, doing the work of God. Learning Chinese has been very interesting, and it's very easy to make mistakes in Chinese. And it's a tonal language, meaning that you take four different tones and you can apply it to the same word and get four different meanings. And for instance, and this is especially for preachers, especially when you've learned to preach in English and you've learned the words that you can stress to make a point. And you can't do the same thing in Chinese. You can stress the words, but you have to stress it at the right place. And for instance, the word God is shun, like you're going up a staircase. And the word for kidney is shun, like you're falling down the staircase. It's the exact same word, different characters, but they're pronounced the same. And there was a brother trying to preach, and he was so excited about how good God had been and how great God was that he was emphasizing the wrong time. And the inflection was changing the meaning, so he was saying that our kidney is a great kidney. And everybody does exactly what you just did right there. They just laugh at you. I heard one man, he was teaching that you're to present yourself a living sacrifice unto God. And the word for living sacrifice is huoji. And the word for turkey is huoji. And he was teaching that you are to present yourself living turkeys unto God. At the time, I didn't know how you did that. And I was talking to one pastor, and he said, I've met a few people who have figured it out. So we've had a lot of fun learning the language. It takes some time. We've been in lessons for a year and a half. This is not Rosetta Stone type stuff. This is in a language school, actually going and learning several hours a week. Right now, I go, it's my schedule is 4 days a week, and I was doing 5 days, but that was just a little too much Chinese for me, and so we cut her back just a little bit. But we have a regular Chinese class, just learning everyday language, and then, as you can imagine, in a pagan culture, Bible language is not real commonly studied there. And so I have to take a separate class for Bible terminology, learning the different vocabulary from the Bible. But we love all of it. And some think it's a challenge. Well, I could tell you if God hadn't called me to Taiwan, I wouldn't be learning Chinese. But he called me there, and I believe he gives us the ability to speak the language of the people he's called you to minister to. And so if God never calls you to a Chinese-speaking nation, do something better with your time. Amen. Don't. Although I've been telling some people, I said, the way the world's going, y'all might want to start learning Chinese. Amen. But we are appreciative that God would give us that opportunity. Working under the Brackens for the first year and a half we were there, Elder and Sister Bracken spent 40 years of their life, just retired a few months ago. And what a tremendous work for God that they have done. And we're not there to occupy their work. We're there to build upon their work. Amen. And see the work of God go forward. Lots of people that are hungry for God. And it's not an exaggeration to say that there are hundreds of thousands of people in a city of 8.5 million that are hungry for God. I don't feel like that's an exaggeration. There are people there that are hungry for God. Amen. And I believe right here in the city God has put you in, that there are people that are hungry for God. Amen, amen. And God, the Bible tells us, is not slack concerning his promise. I know it's talking about the second coming of the Lord, but the reason Peter was saying he hasn't come is because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so while God has given us time to work in Taiwan, we want to make the most of it and see God save as many people, amen, as he can there. And if you never get to meet him down here, one day we'll get to introduce them to you over there. Amen. Amen. Good people, and we love them, and we're just excited to get back to them. And but for the time being, we're happy to be with you tonight. Amen. If you'd stand with me, I will be very short. I have never preached over 3 hours in my life, and I promise tonight won't be the first time. Amen. Whenever my wife tells me I'm done, I promise I'll be. No, I'm joking. Amen. Matthew chapter number 22. And we'll try and follow after what I feel the Lord would have me to preach. And I will just say I'm not preaching this because I am a missionary. I don't call people. God calls people. I'm not trying to call people. Rather, I'm just trying to give you what I feel God has given me. Amen, for tonight. Matthew chapter number 22, let's read verse number 1 and through verse number 3. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants." Everybody say, "His servants." His servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Amen. Why don't we pray together and ask the Lord to help us here for the remainder of this time tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege we have that we can be in your house tonight, God, that we can call on your name. We feel you tonight. Talk to every heart, we pray. Anoint my mind to think your thoughts, anoint my mouth to speak your word. Let the word of the Lord have free course and abound, we pray. In the name of Jesus, God, we need your help. We need your help. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. The Lord bless you. Please be seated. Amen. Again, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Glad that my wife and my two boys are here. Amen. I want to preach, teach, whatever this is tonight on this subject, are you a servant? And I am preaching to myself. I don't ever preach as someone who's got it figured out. I don't even know what I'm doing up here. I'm just trying to follow after God. And this is what I feel tonight. Are you a servant? This story that Jesus is telling, this parable, he's talking about servants. And verse 3, he said he sent forth his servants. We've read this, but again, just Jesus is talking about servants. Verse number 4, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants. Notice how many times he's using the word servants. "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And I believe that this story is an excellent example of what God has called us to do in his kingdom. Amen. We were called to be servants. And I know this story could be used describing the children of Israel, God sending messengers, servant after servant, to reach them and how they treated them and so on and so forth. The Lord's telling this story. And notice the king wasn't deterred in his efforts to bring in people for this marriage. Even when the servants were mistreated, he sent forth more servants. When the servants were killed, he took care of those who mistreated his servants, but still he sent forth more servants because he wanted to fill this marriage feast that he had prepared. And these ones were sent with a job to go and find people to come to this feast that has been prepared. And we know here the master said, if here the honored guests, those that he first sent the servants to, were not willing to come. And he told them to go out into the highways. Just go and find anybody you can and get them into this marriage feast. I don't care where they came from. Just go and find somebody to bring in here to this marriage feast. And they went and did what the master had asked them, or rather commanded them to do. And even to the peril of their own soul. They were told, this is what we're supposed to do, and I'm a servant. I'm going to do what the master has asked me to do. And he sent them to reach these people, just the common people. Amen. And we can be thankful that God sent someone to reach the common man. Amen. That was me and you that God included. Amen. This king could have done all this work on his own. He was no doubt the most powerful man in the land. The king usually is. And here he had the ability. He no doubt would have had the horses and the chariots. If he would have been our day, he'd have been driving a Ford, and he would have gone and invited these people. That was for Papa Jay and for my dad, those guys that think GMs are good. Amen. But the king could have gone and done this work himself, but that's not the way it works. The king has servants, and they're there to do what he wishes and what he desires. And it's the same today, that we're in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the king. Amen. And we're the servants. Amen. And what a privilege it is that God would allow us to be servants in his kingdom. Amen. And our job, we know, is to carry this message to the world, the lost world, and try and bring them in to the house of God so that one day they'll be able to join the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And make it to heaven. But God has called us. God could do the work on his own. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. But that's what he's chosen to do, is to use his servants. Amen. And in the kingdom of God, I've come to realize that there's only one job opening. There's no supervisor positions. There's no big eyes and little U's. There's one job, and it's servant. Amen. It's the only job that Jesus has available. Amen. He is the king, and the rest are servants. Amen. The Bible says, the dictionary says of this word, servant means to be a slave or a bondman, a man of servile condition, one who gives himself up to another's will, those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men, devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interests. And this is a subject that many in the world would not be interested in knowing very much about today. Everybody wants to be their own man. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. But the servant is told what to do. Amen. He serves the king, and if he's going to survive in that kingdom, he must do what the king has commanded him to do. Devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interests. If we're truly going to be what God would have us to be in his kingdom, this must be the attitude that we have, that God's work is more important than my own interest. Amen. My job is for God to be able to extend his kingdom through me and through the work he's called me to do. Amen. We know with the infilling of the Holy Ghost, people's attitudes and their lives are changed, and they want to be a servant. Amen. And if we ever get to feeling like we don't want to necessarily be a servant, if we get a good refilling of the Holy Ghost, it will renew, amen, the way that we ought to look at the kingdom of God. Amen. But I fear in the church that there are people, and I'm not just talking this church, I mean the church as a whole, that loathe the idea of being a servant. Amen. They don't want to be told by Jesus or by his man, the pastor, this is what God has called us to do. Amen. They want to be part of the kingdom. They want to wear the robe. They want to be recognized as somebody from the kingdom, but they don't want to be told what to do. Amen. They want the benefits of being in the kingdom, but they don't want to provide their efforts and their energy to see the kingdom go forward. Amen. A servant absolutely cannot care about his or her will. They are devoted, whether by choice or by force, to do the will of the master. And we have chosen this way. I'm thankful that God gives us a choice. I want to be in the house of God. Amen. I want to be used of God. If God can use me, I want to be available to Him. Amen. It's not a drudgery to be used of God. It's a privilege to be used of God. Amen. And I believe we would agree that we feel honored that the Lord would give us the opportunity to be used in His kingdom. Amen. But what I feel to preach about is those that have been called and should be servants, but they've forgotten what it means to be a servant. Amen. They come into the glorious truth that we hold so dear for the first time. And you almost have to tone them down a little bit. They want to do everything. They want to be involved in Sunday school. They want to go knock doors. They want to do bus routes, places that have that, and all kinds of things. They just want to be involved because they're privileged to be a servant. And it seems that after a while, some people forget what God has done for them or what God has called them to do. And they don't feel so much anymore the responsibility to be a servant. Maybe they feel like they've been promoted to supervisor. And I'm going to sit around here and tell the others what to do. Amen. But in the kingdom of God, there's one position, and that is servant. And I am not minimizing the job of the pastor. You understand me. God has put him there to lead the church. Amen. But even preachers are servants. Amen. We've all got to be servants in the kingdom of God. Amen. So please understand what I'm saying tonight. But God wants each of us to remember that He's called us. He's called me to be a servant. Amen. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew 28 and 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." We know that's Jesus. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." It was a command. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Amen. They were servants. He told them, "You go." Amen. God could have done it. Again, He's everywhere at the same time. He could speak to people. He could thunder to them. But He chose men. Men. Not just males, but men. Human people. To go and to reach others. Amen. And He said, "You go and teach all nations. And you baptize them. And you teach them to observe the things that I've commanded you." Amen. It was their job to do. Amen. And Jesus was clear when He told His disciples, or we could say His servants, what to do. And we're still to go into all the world and tell people about this gospel. Amen. Tell them that Jesus wants to save them. Tell them what Jesus has done for us. Amen. And what He can do for them. But sometimes we can get to where we feel, again, that I've been promoted and I'm not so much a servant anymore. Amen. The pastor begins to talk about knocking doors. And this one friend of mine said it's the shovel ministry. That's for Brother So-and-so back over there. Yeah, he needs to knock some doors. And boy, we need to teach some Bible studies. Sister So-and-so, I hope she heard that. She needs to hear this. Amen. When maybe God's trying to talk to us. Amen. Because we're all servants. Amen. And if we're not careful, we begin to forget. It's just the way humans are. We want to do our own things. I'm not exempt. We want to do our own things. And we begin to put ourselves or our interests and desires above the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm teaching, preaching, whatever this is. Are you a servant? Am I a servant? Devoted to another, devoted to Jesus Christ, to the disregard of my own interests. Amen. There's a lot of ways that we can show a human attitude towards being a servant. We feel that we have bigger and better things to do than teach a Bible study or go knock on doors. Or we hide behind the fear of, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm not good at talking to people. Well, guess what? Neither am I. Join the club. Amen. Sometimes pride prevents us from doing what God has commissioned us to do. Amen. Or we get too busy for the work of God. But we have plenty of time for ourselves and our pleasures and the things that we want to do. Amen. And we leave the work of God lacking. Amen. That's because sometimes people begin to forget that God has called me to be a servant. Amen. And I'm not asking people to look at others. We're looking at ourselves. Amen. I can't make someone else be a servant, but I want to be the servant that God has called me to be. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus again is talking about some servants. Then he, verse 16, that had received, we know the story, the servants who received the talents, and the master went away for a time. He expected them to do something with what he had given them. And here he has come again. And the man with the five, he's traded with the same. He's made more five more talents. The man who had received two, he's gained two more. And he that received one went and digged in the earth, hid his Lord's money. Notice that everybody had an ability and a chance to be used in the kingdom. Amen. Everybody's ability was different, but the master still gave everybody an opportunity to be used. Amen. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. The master expected action. He didn't want them to sit there and hold the talents and say, oh, this is nice that he gave. Look at what my master gave me. No, he wanted them to do something with it. And he's come back now, and he wants to know, what have you been doing with what I've given you? And so he that had received the five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received the two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Notice it didn't matter to the master how much they had done. Rather, that they had done something with what they were given. He didn't say, let's party. This man's made five more talents. No, he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. The man with two, he didn't receive any less praise because he had done something with what this master had given him. And the man with the one talent comes and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. Fear is not an excuse not to do the work of God. Amen. He's telling them, I was scared. I know how you are. I know the type of man you are, the kind of business you run here. And I was afraid of what was going to happen. But I still have what you gave me, just as it was when you gave it to me. His Lord answered and said unto him, now, the human perspective, our perspective, we would say, I understand that. He was nervous. He was, maybe I am kind of a mean man, you know, and he at least he still has what I gave him. He held on to it. But that's not the way that the Lord looked at it. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent for him, give it to him which hath ten. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, he that hath abundance. But for him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I believe that Jesus feels very strongly about what he's given us. Amen. He doesn't want us to sit in the church and hold on to what he's given us. And when Jesus comes, say, I still have exactly what you've done for me. I've not done anything with it, but thank you for what you did. I've got it right here. No, and fear was an excuse. Master, I was afraid. I know the kind of man you are. But his answer was that wicked and slothful servant. Amen. And cast this servant, this unprofitable servant. He's worthless. I gave him something and he did nothing with it. And Jesus looked at him, the master here, looked at him as a worthless servant. Everybody in the church has an obligation to share this message. Amen. We may never preach behind a pulpit. We may never teach a Sunday school class, lead a song service, whatever. But everybody can tell somebody about what Jesus has done for them. Amen. And I realize not everybody will be saved. I wish they would be saved. I wish everybody we witness to would be saved. Amen. But God didn't ask us to worry about saving people. Amen. He just gave us a job to do, carry the message to those who have not heard. Amen. And we can be guaranteed to have zero success if we don't share what Jesus has done. Amen. Some think, I don't know the scripture very well. Well, God will help you. Amen. You can tell somebody what Jesus did for you. You don't even have to quote a scripture. Amen. God can help you. If you want to witness and if I want to witness, God will always make an opportunity for us. Amen. To be used of him. We've got a great commission to fulfill. Amen. It wasn't just for the disciples. It's been passed on down to us. And now we live in a world with over 7 billion people. That's hard to imagine. 7 billion people. As of a few years ago, there were 19 births, I believe this was per day, per 1,000 in population. 8 deaths per 1,000 in population. There were 55.3 million people that die each year. That's a lot of people going into eternity to meet God. Amen. 151,600 people that die each day. 6,316 people that die each hour. I wonder how many people have gone into eternity since we started service tonight. And how many of them were right with God. Amen. 105 people die each minute. And nearly 2 people die each second. Amen. When we think about those numbers, it's sobering to think how many people I saw today or came across today are going to meet God and not know him, not be ready to meet him. How many of the people I saw today were saved and on their way to heaven? How many people did I tell? Did this man standing here tell about Jesus? Amen. And who will go into eternity? Maybe even somebody that I came across today, tonight, and not be ready to meet God. Amen. It's a serious job that the Master has given us. Amen. We're privileged that God has saved us. Thank God for saving us. But I'm not content to sit on a pew and say, God, thank you for saving me, while there's those outside that are going to the same devil's hell that I had been on my way to. Amen. God has called me to be a servant, and I want to fulfill the call that he's called me to fulfill. Amen. God needs true servants, those who are willing to push themselves aside and say the master's kingdom matters more than what I want to do, what I care about. Amen. We can't let the fear of this world and what's going on, the conditions of this world we live in, keep us from fulfilling the call that God has put upon us. And we know the Bible speaks of the last days. It's going to be a wild ride, if you will. Amen. But God will protect us. God will take care of us. Amen. And one day, it'll all be worth it anyways. It's all going to be over. We'll be out of here. Amen. But I want to have somebody with me, amen, that I've been able to witness to. Amen. Not just me. Thank God for saving me. But I want to tell somebody else, amen, about what God has done. Amen. I'll be done here in just a moment. You can stand with me. I believe one of the greatest hindrances to the work of God, if not the greatest hindrance to the work of God, is time. Amen. It's not the devil. The devil can't stop the church. Amen. It's not the ungodly world that we live in, but time hinders us. We live in a 24/7, 365 world. Things never stop. Everything's always going, going, going. People are always busy. And if we're not careful in the church, we get too busy. Amen. Too busy to be a worker for God. Amen. The devil realizes the value of time. Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I wonder how we would work for God if we had the same revelation that the devil had of time. Amen. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Another translation says, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing, taking advantage of each and every opportunity, using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Paul told the church in Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders or non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. Amen. Are you a servant? Amen. Am I a servant? Elder Lawhorn sings a song that says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked way, I would hear their cry. There's so many things need to be done. So many souls need to be won. We've got the answer. We've got the power. We just don't have the time. He goes on to say, if we could only love the way Jesus loves, if we could only give the way that He does. But instead of touching lives, we look through bitter eyes and reach with selfish hands. We get so busy with ourselves, we see no one else, and they reach the barren wells. We could teach someone to live. We've got so much to give if we'd only take the time. The chorus of his song says, we've got the answer. We've got the power. We just don't have the time. So many souls are dying, hungry hearts crying, yet we're so blind. Our God is still the same. God has not changed. Amen. His power is unchanged. We're the ones who've drawn the line. We could see someone healed, a hungry heart filled, if we'd only take the time. Amen. I have tried to follow what God has put on me for this service tonight. Amen. I'm asking you, I'm asking myself, are you a servant? Amen. God needs real servants. Amen. If you want to be a servant, you can be. God will make you what He needs you to be. Amen. If you're willing, amen, to be His servant. Why don't you lift your hands and talk to the Lord? Amen. I want to be used of you, God.